Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, YouTube, wherever you're watching us, listening to us. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And usually I would have Nicole Six, everybody's favorite horror writer, by my side, but she's at a benefit for Iranian women. I'm sure we'll hear about that next week. But who needs a co-host when you've got a guest like this? We have none other than there's all sorts of things, and we're going to get into all sorts of things, but she is the queen of strap-ons. And a great content creator and star in her own right. AVN Award winner, two-time AVN Award winner. And she's doing the fake humility act to us right now. If you can only see what I'm looking at, it's Sin Sage.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much, Sin. I appreciate it. It's funny because I was talking about this, and we had a great year last year as far as our podcast, but it was the first year we didn't have really any hardcore porn actresses on or porn. Yeah. we had Rebecca Love, who used to be a hardcore. I don't know if you, because you live in Vegas, you probably come across her now and then, but she used to be hardcore. Now she's doing softcore Cinemax stuff, and she does OnlyFans and stuff. So, and we've had, you know, our usual dominatrixes and all sorts of things, but we haven't delved into the XXX world in a long time. And I'm glad we're starting 2023 off right with you. Well, actually, we had Casey T Girl a couple weeks ago, so we're really getting back into the swing of things.
Okay. I'm happy to be a part of this. Of course, I don't know if you can, well, I'm sure your listeners can't see, but you can see kind of.
Well, no, there's a whole goth motif, and we're going to get into that. And that's, I think, the reason that you were pitched to my show, because we have a lot in common. I actually smeared some guy liner on really badly today. It looks like I used a roller, but just so we can get in the goth mood.
Love and it.
Before we get started, I do have to chill for my sponsors, and I'm actually drinking, not absinthe, as I normally do, but Raise Energy Drink, because I've got to keep up with your energy. Raise Energy Drink, you can get these. Can't get these at stores or 7-Elevens. You get these at gyms, vitamin shops, GNCs. But why pay full price? If you're watching us on YouTube or listening to us on a podcast catcher, there is a code and a link where you can get 15% off a case of Raise Energy Drink. This is actually Baja Lime flavor, which tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell, but better because zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash, and all delicious. They just came. Oh, it's great. They just came out with a ginger ale. They have sour gummy worms, pink bubble gum, all sorts of flavors. Pina colada flavor, Raise Energy Drink. It's the best. I've tried them all. I tried the Steven Seagal energy drink. I tried the energy drink with horny goat weed. I tried the one that's shaped like a bomb. This is the best. And one more sponsor. And we have I got to tell you, we have a probably 98% male audience. Not my intention, but that's just the way it worked out. And mainly between 18 and 34. So for any man listening to this podcast who has some problems in the bedroom and they want to fuck like a porn star, Eddie by Giddy is what you need. Eddie by Giddy is a device that you use, and I've seen the reviews, and it works. It gets blood flow where you need it the most. And I've seen the reviews where people use it one time, they're cured. They don't need it anymore. Some people use it sporadically. Some people use it every time. But the fact is they're getting rock hard erections and pleasing their partners. And once again, go in the code on YouTube. Go in the code of the podcast catcher. If you're listening to us on Renegade Radio, check us out. Eddie by Giddy. You will get 20% off Eddie by Giddy, and you will never be flaccid again. I'm not flaccid right now, by the way, Sin. How are you?
Oh, good.
Yes. Now, that's it. Before we get to your goth past and your upbringing and all that, and all how you got into porn and all this other stuff, and what you got going on now, how you really transitioned into a lot of trans stuff, which is good, and our audience likes that. But we love it. So, but before we get into that, who deemed you the queen of strap-ons? How did you get that title?
You know, I never said it. It wasn't me. I think we can't really give ourselves these titles, right? They mm-hmm. have to just come organically from the fans. And I don't know, somewhere around the time when I started getting like more popular in the late 2000s.
Oh, like, way back when.
Yes, y'all.
I remember 2008 and I saw the Queen of Strap-Ons. Yeah.
It was around that time. Yeah. 2008, probably maybe it started. And then just, you know, there, I don't know if you've ever seen my strap-on scenes, but
I did a lot of research, so I've seen some strap-on scenes. Sure.
Oh, good.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah. There's just something in me that, you know, I think you put a strap on a lot of girls and you just don't see the same kind of
enthusiasm,
big dick energy.
Oh, you have big dick energy. That's what it is. Okay.
That's what I've been told. Also, someone else, you know, other people tell me this. It wasn't me, but yeah, I get it. And you know, like when I put the strap on, it's almost like I like to stroke it a little bit and like look at my hand stroking it. I even mm-hmm. like it when the person I'm working with like strokes my cock, like, yeah, sucks it, but like strokes it. That like really helps me feel physically connected to the actual cock itself. Like I get sensation kind of like in my clit, like in my vulva, when it's getting stroked and stuff. And then I kind of like make that like mental connection with it. So much of sex is like in the brain anyway. I mean, all of life, every experience
it's all in the brain.
Is in the brain. So I just make that connection. And then it's like, that's my dick. And this is how I like to fuck. And I don't know. Once the dick is on, I just have like that different like level of energy and I just go and like I want to make her feel really good, whoever I'm fucking with the dick, and mm-hmm. and all that's just what's important to me. And so I also, you know, have a little bit of like gender fluidity, especially when I put the dick on. So mm-hmm. I'm not trying to look like feminine and like girly, like that's not like my goal. And I think a lot of girls like do want to do that when they're on camera, which is totally fine and understandable. But
wait a second. Women want to look feminine with a strap on? Doesn't that defeat the whole purpose? I thought the whole purpose was.
Well, what I'm saying is I don't know what it's like for them, but right. For me, like that's
you're in charge when you got the dick on. That's for sure.
Yeah. I am just like I definitely lean more into my masculinity when I mm-hmm. put the dick on and just really like embrace that feeling and embrace being able to experience that. And so I don't know, that's what I would guess is the difference, but yeah. So I will say that, you know, when people do tell me that or they say it, it feels really great and I feel very proud of the work that I do with my dick on. So
you should be proud of the work that you do with your dick on. Now, did you have to become the princess of strap-ons before you became a queen, or
no it pretty much just right yeah. into the yeah the reification
so, it wasn't, know, like Prince Charles where you had to be prince and then you became
no in fact yeah. some people call me the king of the strap-on too sometimes, and I'm fine with that as well.
I think so. Yeah. I would think so. Well, you've come a long way. You've come a long way from Arcata, California. I almost said Arcadia. Arcata, California.
It's actually pronounced Arcata.
So it is Arcata. Okay.
Yeah, it's Arcata. So it's not Arcadia. That's in Southern California. Mm-hmm. Arcata is in Northern California. It's by Eureka. It's like Humboldt County where they grow mm-hmm. all the weed. Humboldt State University.
Well, I was going to get to that. So So I guess you were in. That's an interesting place to grow up.
Well, I didn't grow up there. I was born there and I lived there till I was 5. And then my parents moved to Southern California, like the high desert of Southern California. And that's where I grew up. So it was about an hour and a half outside of LA. A very, very small town.
There's a lot of weed. There's a lot of weed over there too.
I mean, there's weed everywhere. But it's usually being grown in Northern California because it's perfect there. It's wet and green and moist.
I don't know how you made weed so sexy, but you just did. So you can make anything sexy. But anyway, I think, yeah, I may be taking a strap on at the end of the show. I don't know. But both your parents were teachers.
Yep. English teachers. So I'm very much a stickler for grammar and spelling and punctuation.
Oh, okay. So you'll be correcting me at some point during the show, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But that's gotta be weird. I know. Yeah. I don't know. Usually I know people that are teachers, but I don't know two people, like two teachers that got together. Usually they're fucking the students. I don't know what's going on.
Definitely not. Yeah. So, well, they met at Humboldt State University. So
okay.
They were both getting like their English degrees and then they were not teaching. My dad was maybe substitute teaching and taxi cab driving and doing stuff like that. And my mom she was the manager of a radio station. And then when we moved to Southern California, it's because my dad did get a job teaching. And then my mom went and got her teaching credentials and she started teaching too.
Then
actually like her dad was also a teacher and her mom worked at the school district. So it's just a family of educators that I come from.
and there's some strange parallels too, because your husband wasn't a porn star. You were a porn star and then he became a porn star.
I guess. Yeah.
So life repeats itself. Yeah. So whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, he was not. He was a diesel mechanic when I met him, but he's has done lots of other things. You know, very much a jack of all trades.
No pun intended.
Yeah. And we were dating for a couple years, and then I started to want to get into making the custom videos, and I was like, do you want to try camming with me? And he was like, hell yeah, I do. And then I was like, okay, do you want to try being in a movie with me? Okay, do you want to try holding a camera? I can show you how to do it. And just sucked him into my world of awesomeness.
Right. just like your dad did with your mom. I'm going to suck you into the awesomeness that is teaching. Not quite as awesome in my opinion,
well, definitely the awesomeness of teaching taught me that that was something I definitely for sure did not want to do.
Although there is a teaching aspect in some of what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially now that I've got my own podcast and I come on a lot of podcasts for various different topics, and I've spoken at university and stuff like that. So making little shifts towards education, sex education and stuff like that as well, comprehension and things like that. So
no,
I'm suited to it somehow a little bit. I never said I would be a bad teacher, just that I saw the life and it's very ungrateful, sort of. The amount my mom worked so much, and she is an inspiration. I mean, she was one of those really, really, really good teachers that had students coming back 20 years later to thank her for the influence that she made on their lives and stuff. So, I've been sort of inspired in that way too. So,
if only you could incorporate strap-ons in teaching, and I think maybe that's the answer for all these school shootings and all the problems in the education system. If the teachers had strap-ons, maybe the kids would calm down.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Just throwing it out there. But when you grew up, and now you got all the bats and skulls and all the cool stuff in the background.
Yeah.
So, and I think, as I said, that's probably why you were pitched to me, or I was pitched to you. You were a goth kid back in the day. You loved loved your latex. Now, who were you into?
So when I was in high school, I mean, it was Marilyn Manson for sure. I made a little binder with I printed out all the lyrics to his songs and all his quotes. And I read his book like 7 times and put pictures all over. I mean, you should have seen my bedroom walls. Like, it was almost like wallpaper, the amount of magazine cutouts and posters and stuff. And so, you know, as a teenager, I think our hormones are crazy and we're really, really trying to find our identity. Mm-hmm. And it was just very wrapped up in Marilyn Manson for me at the time. And it's just sad. It's unfortunate because he's he's a piece of shit. He's really come out, and now we know he's an abuser and he's just a fucked up asshole. but I still appreciate for what it was at the time in my life. Like, I am so mm-hmm. grateful that I got into Marilyn Manson when I did, because right. that influence of like being an individual and finding your own way of being, finding what works for you, and embracing that and like really not fucking caring what other people think about it.
Right.
That was like a big foundation for mm-hmm. who I am as a person. And so I'm grateful I had that influence, because now it's just like, I live the life that I want for myself. Mm-hmm. And what makes me happy, because, you know, I'm going to die someday, maybe tomorrow, who knows. And I want to make sure that like I lived the life for me, right. you know, right. and not for like other people's expectations of me, you know?
Sure. Well, you're the queen. You should not live any life. And, you know, that's I can see that. I'm picturing your Marilyn Manson adored wall as we speak. But yeah, it's,
well, you know, it's I feel like it, yeah, I've refined my gothness now, you know.
Well, it was a lot better getting into him in 2000 than in 2023. Yeah, that'd be a little
right.
Weird,
but, no, we can't. But do it.
And honestly, I think his book, which I don't know how much to credit to him, how much to credit to Neil Strauss, is the best thing he ever did.
I know, right?
I think it's better than any of his albums, and I like some of his albums.
Okay.
Not as of late, but I like the classics. Yeah.
No. The last good album he came out with was Mechanical Animals. The one right exactly. after that was okay, but right. it was like it stopped being really awesome at Mechanical Animals. And that was basically, I got into him the tail end of Antichrist Superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And my first concert ever, I was 15, and right. it was for Mechanical Animals. And it was right. actually one where he fell on stage and broke his ankle. So
I was there. I was there.
You were there too? Shut the fuck up.
Marilyn Manson in a Hole. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was in Inglewood at the
Forum.
Forum. Yeah.
Because we were walking down the street. We were walking down the street, and I wasn't quite as gothed out as I normally would be. And everybody, all the locals in Inglewood were freaked out because there's all these weird totally. White people walking around.
Yes.
And they even went up to us because we were like, we weren't so weird, my friend and I. And they're like,
right.
Yo, man, who's playing the Forum? I'm like, it's Marilyn Manson. He's like, Marilyn Manson, that's the devil. And yeah, they were just all freaked out. They were like hiding in their house. They were shutting the doors and locking them because all these weird white people were walking around.
Yeah. Well, we were very scary back then.
I remember Hole was really good, and then Marilyn Manson blew him away. And then
Well, don't forget Monster Magnet.
I didn't see Monster Magnet. We didn't see them.
Monster Magnet started, then it was Hole, then it was
right.
Marilyn
Manson. No, we got in we got there late, so we got in when Hole started.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't give a shit about Monster Magnet, to be honest with you. I like Hole and I like Marilyn Manson, so what are you gonna do?
Yeah, for sure. At the time, anyways, yeah, it was all
and
good.
cut to the last time I saw Marilyn Manson, which is probably maybe 10 years ago.
Time I saw him was more than, I think it was 2006. It was Ozfest.
Right. Well, they did some festival with them and Slayer. And I took my niece and nephew to see them. And Slayer was great. And Killswitch Engage. It was like a lot of cool bands.
Yeah, just metal.
It was all metal. And then he comes out. He's wearing like skinny jeans. He's got like muffin top. And, you know. My whole theory on him, and I've talked about it because I know some people that we've had a lot of guests that have some periphery with him,
right?
And we'll get off the Marilyn Manson and get more into the strap on, but my theory is when Madonna Wayne Gacy left the band,
yeah,
it's been really bad since.
Yeah,
like Golden Age of Grotesque was okay.
Hollywood it was okay. That but one had some cool songs on it.
But after he left,
yeah,
it was just. It was like one decent song and a bunch of shit like every album comes up. Yeah, so.
My theory is more that like you know, when you're a struggling artist, you have this wealth of ideas and concepts and things to make, and you're very creative.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've like hit the big time, I mean, you've peaked out, like definitely right. Antichrist Superstar was like peak. And then it's like, okay, well now what are you gonna do? What's your next right. album gonna be about? Right. And then you know, on top of the fact that we know that he does copious amounts of cocaine, like
oh, sure.
all the time. And I don't think that cocaine is the thing that leads to like really amazing creative expression. And I'm sorry to say that it's usually heroin, But you know, then those people all end up dying, so it sucks.
I think in the short term maybe cocaine helps, but I think after 10 years, like, it's time to switch drugs.
This is what I'm saying. Yes. Yeah. And just like all his rock star dreams came true, and then it's like, okay, well, what do you sing about now? Like, you can't just keep talking about the same shit you talked about 10, 20 years ago. You know, what are you gonna talk about now? I think he just ran out of ideas, and like now he's just pumping out crap that's like a set of four lyrics that just repeat over and over and over again.
Right.
It's just on top of the fact of being just a terrible human being, but
So yeah, when he's on stage in skinny jeans with muffin top, like, he was skinny and still fat. So it was like, I just weird.
He's like a parody of himself now.
So well, I mean, he had a knife on his microphone, and he's doing the Bible, blowing up the Bible and all that. So after 45 minutes, my niece and nephew come up to me and they're like, yeah, we can go.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad, because I've seen him. I saw him when he was good, but what are you gonna do?
Yeah, anyway. Same.
But you really got into latex, and you got into fetish at the time.
Yeah. Well, at the time, okay, I will say, in high school at the time, I was really into boots, like stripper boots and heels and goth boots and stuff like that. I thought that was so erotic, and and I just
did. You have like the Frankensteins, the big Frankenstein ones. That, like, the real elevator boots? Yeah.
No, I never had the ones that were like big, thick, like a giant platform. Actually,
right.
Those started came out like more early 2000s. Mm-hmm. We are talking late 90s right now.
Okay, so heels then.
They were chunky.
Or docks.
I did have a pair of docks, but they were 20 hole, and I didn't really like them that much, to be honest with you. They were very inflexible. Mm-hmm. But Hot Topic had like the boots with like the bubble toe and like the chunky heel.
Oh yeah.
Lace up to my knee, and like that. Those were Those were my favorite boots. Gosh, I still think about those boots. I miss them.
So hot.
I'm more of a docks girl now. Now I got my 8-hole docks, and
those will last you like 20 years. But
yes.
Sadly enough, I went to LA Comic Con and they had a Hot Topic display, and I went up to the girl that worked at Hot Topic. I said, when did Hot Topic stop being goth? And she looked at me like I was telling, her a knock knock joke. She's like, I don't know. When did Hot Topic stop being goth? I'm like, I'm asking you. It was, one of those things.
Yeah, I think it happened around the when they started selling like the pink and black stuff, and it was emo phase. That's when I think kind of stopped being goth. It just, you can still find a couple goth things in Hot Topic, but it'll be like two. Right. Whereas like when I was in high school, every single piece of clothing was goth, and it was great. That's where I did my back to school shopping.
Of course. And the thing is, now it's the Disney store. It's basically the Disney store. Yes. And there's, you know, you just got to go over to the Nightmare Before Christmas section. That's all you got.
Yes. Yeah, and even that is like, I remember liking it when I was in high school, but then it just became like, oh, okay, this is the trendy thing now. And I'm like, now I just can't even get into it.
Right. And now, have you always been hypersexual?
I don't know. What's the definition of that? How does one define hypersexual?
More sexual than the average person?
I don't think I am that, to be honest with you.
Really?
Okay. I'm not hypersexual.
Because I heard a story when you were a little girl, you came across an Easy Rider magazine.
Well, that's kind of how I'd say that's how I, that was the first, my first introduction to the fact of like pornography existing. Mm-hmm. And that's a topic that I bring up with every guest that I have on my podcast. I'm always asking, like, so when was the first time that you knew that you were introduced to porn as a thing, like, or erotic entertainment, whatever it might be. So, you know, the younger people, they're all like on the internet and stuff, and for me it was like coming across these magazines, and I remember like a friend finding the box of porn out in the desert.
I heard that story too. There are boxes of porn in the desert?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh,
I gotta go to the desert.
I'm like, how old are you? You're like my age, right? Or
me? I'm a little older than you.
You didn't find a box of porn in the woods or like wherever the fuck you were?
I didn't grow up in the woods. That's the thing.
Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up all over the country. I grew up in Colorado. I grew up in Florida. I went to high school and college in San Diego.
So only cities or?
Pretty much, yeah. So I was not in the desert, but I did find my, you know, I did find my dad's stash of like Wii magazine and stuff like that. But
I mean, that's the thing. When you,
I don't think he's gonna check out this show, so I can say it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, when you live in an area where there is access to woods or bushes or trees or desert or whatever the fuck it might be, your landscape. Back in the day, I don't think it happens anymore, but they used to be like, I think it's where people would keep their porn stash, maybe. So didn't know about it. And then they'd go back to it. Like,
so like you would drive, people would drive to the desert to jerk off? Is that, I mean, I don't get this.
Yeah, so I grew up in a desert. So you would just walk out your door and walk 10 feet and like you're in the middle of the desert.
Right. And there's porn magazines.
So it would, there are just like lots and lots of dirt roads. And we had these like juniper trees, which are like big bushes. And yeah, I think people would hide their stash there and then probably go to the stash and jerk off in wherever they were, the desert or the woods or whatever, and then go home and be like, okay, well, my wife and kids won't find my porn stash at least. Like, but this is just a theory.
The kids don't know about this. The kids don't know anything about this.
Exactly. It's the time. It was another era for sure.
Magazines. I miss magazines. I don't even know. I don't even know if Easy Rider still published.
I don't either.
It was weird. I was in Beverly Hills today, and they actually have a newsstand. I'm like, I haven't seen a newsstand in years. I used to go to the newsstand and just waste hours there.
Yeah. But, yeah, they still have those in LA.
Mm-hmm. These kids, they don't know. They don't know that it's.
They'll never know.
Yeah,
you can
hold it in your hand. They don't. Yeah, yeah. The joy of flipping pages with one hand, and yeah.
Yeah, I will say, like, I got my hands on a lesbian Hustler magazine probably when I was about 17, and I loved that. And there's something about just like looking at the photos. Like they were just about to make contact and like that was really hot and like you could play out the rest of what was happening like in your mind,
right?
Instead of just, you know, watching a video, there it all is for you. And right. Yeah, that was cool. That was a cool time. They'll never know the joy of that.
You get to use your imagination. No, I'm like that. I jerk off to Lifetime movies. I dig that kind of thing. But from what I understand, now you actually had to convince somebody to have sex with you, and that's how you lost your virginity.
Yeah, you know, virginity is such a stupid patriarchal concept. And I also don't like saying that I lost it. Like, I know where it went.
I apologize.
That's okay. It's just like the common terminology, right?
What terminology would you prefer? Because I know.
I would just say the first time I had sex.
First time you had sex. See, I told you you would be correcting me during the show. So here you go. First time you had sex.
Yeah, the first time I had sex, I was just really, because like I said, you know, I don't know, I wasn't, well, I felt hypersexual when I was, you know, puberty, and shortly thereafter, and, but I didn't do a lot of sexual things, like, I wasn't hooking up with people, I didn't have, so I had sex when I was 15, but it was a guy who was 18, I was very, very attracted to him, but he had my mom as a teacher, and so he was like, I just wouldn't feel good about it. And like, you know, he was having like a moral quandary with the concept of having sex with his teacher's daughter, which would make no fucking sense to me. I was like, I'm a person, damn it. And so, yeah, I was just like, listen, I just think that you know, you're cute and I like you. And I kind of just want to get this thing over with. And, you know, I want to just have it. I want to do it. And like, you know, he was very, you know, we flirted all the time. So I'm sure it wasn't that he didn't want to, it was just like, I think he was just uncomfortable about it. And, you know, he was also a kid. I mean, he was 18 and I was 15.
I was going to say, was it the statutory rape aspect or?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
And especially like, that wasn't a concern.
Did you want to fuck your mother? I mean, I don't get the concern.
Maybe I can't say that. I just pretty much was like, this is what I want. Like, please, can we do this? And yeah, he came over and then we stopped at 7-Eleven on the way back to his place. And of course, we're talking like these are long drives because they're in the middle of the fucking desert.
Right.
And he stopped at 7-Eleven and he was like, well, I don't have any condoms. And I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to pay for them. Okay. And I did. I gave him the money. And he went and got him. And then he was like, oh, why did they give me unlubricated? And my 15-year-old asked, like, I was like, whoa, what does that even mean? And long story short, it was not good at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very awkward. And it was hot. We were like in the trailer he lived in, like the back of his parents' house. And It was like a million degrees. This was like June, like May or June. So it was super hot.
This just gets more and more romantic the more you go on.
It wasn't.
He passive aggressively made you pay for the condoms and you went back to his trailer.
That was what was happening? Wow. I never even looked at it like that.
He probably was broke and
Probably. Yeah. All those things. Yeah. But now, you know, like I'm almost 40. Like I'm not mad at him or, you know, anything about the situation. I was a curious person. I wanted it to happen. And like there were no other boys at my school that I was even attracted enough to think of having sex with besides him. So that was just why I think I like went after him. And then, yeah, I swear to God, he kind of just like moved around on top of me for a while. And I just was kind of like, this is sex. And looking back, I thought he just had like a small penis, but now I think he probably wasn't even very hard. Maybe a combination. I don't know. But I didn't really feel anything happening. Like like it was easy. Like it wasn't tough or painful at all. And then he just kind of moved around for a while on top of me. And then just reached this point where he was like, and I'm spent. I don't think an orgasm occurred. And the condom did come off at one point inside of me. It was just so bizarre. And then I remember leaving that situation and being like, that's fucking sex. Like, that's what all of this hype and buildup was. Holy shit, how disappointing. And so then I was 17 when I actually had sex with someone that like we had feelings for each other. And attraction to each other. And that was, you know, having sex with someone for the first time that you actually have like feelings for, I was like, oh, that's what sex is. Or like, that's what it's supposed to feel like, you know, initially that's how it can be good, you know, especially if you're your first time. So that was amazing. And then he broke my heart.
Well, it's a quote, Prince, the first time ain't the greatest. But and to be fair to that guy, the first time I had sex, I didn't come either.
Hold on a second. It was definitely not his first time having sex.
No, I know, but it was my first time. And I'm just saying, not every sex ends in orgasm for the man.
Totally. I talk about that.
You know, I've heard you talk about that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, on a scene or you know, in porno, something has to happen. So.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So
making entertainment. That's different.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And speaking of entertainment, now this is the greatest story. I think I was very. I really want to hear more about this because I've been to AVN. You were an AVN Award winner, but you were making like fetish videos. You went to AVN. Basically, usually people make porn movies, then they go to the AVN. You went to AVN, then you made porno movies. If I have this timeline?
I think, I got into sex work right away, but I didn't, just like various things happened in my life, it didn't really start panning out until I was 19 and I started dancing at the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I was working there for a few months and then I met this girl and she was like, oh yeah, my boyfriend's making me a website. This is the year 2003, by the way.
Right.
Well, actually it was 2002, that I met this girl and I was like, oh really? Like your boyfriend makes websites. I've always wanted I want a website. Right.
And kids, you got to look up some 2002 websites. Those are pretty funny to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I had literally just turned 19. So I was still a very, very young person. And she's like, oh, really? Well, he'll hook you up. And that's how I met probably the most cruel and deplorable human being that I've ever met on this planet. Like probably the worst example of how horrible a person can be.
Marilyn Manson?
With her boyfriend. No, oh, no. This guy, oh, okay. Like, believe it or not, he was worse. Okay. And, but he did, like, sort of pull me into this fold of trying to make content and get hired for scenes and bookings and things like this. Mm-hmm. So they took me to AVN in 2003. And from there, like, I had these little shitty business cards printed up, and I was just giving out cards and trying to get jobs to get booked, to do scenes and just work in porn, whatever fetish. It mm-hmm. didn't matter. It's all the same to me.
Right.
And yeah, so did that, passed out cards and whatnot. And then came home from that and started getting some phone calls, some emails. I also had put profiles on old sites like One Model Place or the back of City magazines. Like, there'd sometimes be ads
for
models who are willing to do nudity, age 18 to 50, stuff like that. So I was answering those, just trying to get photo shoots.
The LA Connection, or those type of things.
Yeah, LA Weekly, OC Weekly, stuff
right,
like that.
Right, right.
And then So I was still mainly stripping to make an income for until probably around 2007, but I did start getting bookings for porn and fetish. Mm-hmm. All of it. All of it. I still do everything that is, within my boundaries, which is just I don't do anal and I don't do a boy girl unless it's with my partner. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And we're going to get to that, but it's an amazing story because 10 years later in 2013, you win best girl sex scene.
Yeah, it was my first Emmy award. And I have to say too, when I won that award, I've been going to AVN and I've been seeing who's getting nominated and who's winning, and I'm just like, okay, people like me do not get these things. Was convinced.
Now, what do you mean by that? People like you. Girls, they take an award.
Well, I don't have any surgical enhancements. And I also didn't do boy girl. And right. So, they didn't even used to have a category so 2013, I won best girl scene. But 2015, I won all girl performer of the year.
Right.
And 2014 was the first year they had that even as a category.
Right.
So if you only did girl, you just weren't getting attention and mm-hmm. accolades and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. that's kind of how I felt like when I say that. Now, even or at the time, it was just like I'm not that type of porn star, mm-hmm.
right?
And so I just didn't think that I was the thing that would ever win. And then I did this amazing scene with Danny Daniels, and her star was kind of rising at that time mm-hmm. quite a bit. She that the movie that the scene we won for was her first boy girl movie,
right?
So that was like a big deal. Like, all the other scenes had boy girl, but I was the girl scene, and she chose me. She picked me to be her partner for that scene. And
right.
It was incredible. As soon as we finished the scene, I said out loud, I was like, if I was ever going to win an AVN award, that this scene would be it. And then what do you know? It fucking happened. I was totally taken by absolute surprise. I was shocked, really. Yeah.
It's so weird with the AVN awards, because we've had porn stars from, on the show, from Ginger Lynn. We've had classic to the newer women, and you've been around for a while, but they used to have movies. They used to show movies in the movie theater. Then they then they had videos, and I guess they still do full length movies, but it's mostly.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. We still do full length movies for sure.
But that's not really the focus though. Everybody really kind of does scenes, or they splice together scenes and try to make a movie out of it.
What I do, but I just have like I'll take four clips and I'm like, oh, these have a theme that connects them, and right. I'm putting them together, and now I have a movie.
Yeah, I'm looking over your list on your website. Some of my favorite, Ass Parade 36, Harry and Shave Muff Divers. I love just reading porn titles. It's the greatest. Let me see.
Those aren't mine, are they?
They're on your website, so I don't know.
On my website.
On your website, sin-sage.com.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't recall either of those titles.
Eat Me Out, Electro Sluts.
Yeah, Electro Sluts, that's kink.com.
Okay.
The Eat Me Out thing, that was actually a Joanna Angel movie.
Okay, all right. Yeah, Jerk Off Instructions, I mean, you know.
Yeah,
I don't
like
know.
That's web stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so these are all on your website. So anyway, okay. I just like to read those. But anyway, so... But yeah, I mean, 10 years later, I mean, you know, when you got there, like, did you think 10 years later you'd be accepting an award?
Oh, hell fucking no. No way.
Yeah.
No. So. I didn't expect any of that to happen. Right. I didn't, you know, when I first got into the business, I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I didn't even consider like a future. Right. And then as the years went by, it just became something that I was like trying to find ways to make it something that would sustain me into the future. And right. Yeah, so here I am now.
it's an inspirational story. Now, yeah. This is the thing. There's two things that people I come across, because every time last time I was at ABN, I was with my girlfriend, who was a webcam girl at the time. And I had a friend that I knew. He's like, can you get me in? So I got him in. And he was just. He couldn't believe that we were just talking to people. Like, he worshiped these, you know, all of these actresses so much. And he was just like, oh my God, I can't believe you actually talked to them. I'm like, they're human beings. But the misunderstanding of porn is two things. A, most, you know, and, you know, there's dumb people in every profession, but most adult film people that I've talked to, especially talents.
Yeah.
I've talked to some morons behind the scenes, but talents are very, very intelligent, as you are.
Thank you.
I mean, it's just, it comes across. I've interviewed Ella Darling, who I think is a genius.
Oh,
and I said
my favorite. She's my, yeah.
Well, she's my friend. I love Ella. And next time you say hi.
She's got a doctorate or library sciences or master's.
Like she's one of the smartest people I've ever met. And I asked her, I'm like, you know, why do you think that is? Why do you think, the trope is that it's, you know, some dumb girl that has no other options. But the reality is these are smart girls that have options. They just want to fuck.
Well,
or they want to make a living doing that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's more, you know, almost from like there's a lot of things. I think we kind of see, you know, intelligent people can kind of see capitalism for what it is. Mm-hmm. And sort of like the grind and almost like the pointlessness of sort of being like a tethered to a job where you you don't have the freedom over your own life.
Right.
And also you don't reap the benefits of the labor that you do. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I know that the freedom aspect of it was huge. Like even just from the beginning, like getting into the work, you know, I was working at the Olive Garden and it was a great job. I mean, I liked it, but I wasn't.
I don't know if I would consider Olive Garden a great job. It's an okay job. It pays good, I'm sure.
I think that serving,
I waited tables and it was awful.
Yeah, like waiting tables or being a like a bartender or service industry like that, where you can make tips. That's right. A job where you can actually, you know, versus like minimum wage or something like that. It's like you can actually sustain yourself. You can like pay rent and stuff like that. So,
and I'm assuming you got more tips than I did.
I didn't do that well, to be honest with you. Oh, okay. You know, I you know, working at the Olive Garden was a great job. I was 18 years old and I enjoyed it. It was nice. It was fun. I liked it. But, you know, then I couldn't save money up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in Desert Hot Springs, which is kind of like a ghetto-y sort of area of Palm Springs. And
mm-hmm.
I know we wanted to live a little bit closer to LA in a nicer neighborhood. And you know, I just like, I'm going to the strip club and I'm going to try dancing because that's what I wanted to do for so long. And I went, and the first three nights I worked, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, I made $1,000. And that was like a month of working at the Olive Garden for me. So I was just like, what? Huh? Like I get to come here, put on a sexy bikini and walk around and shake my ass and be flirty. And I get paid hundreds of dollars for this.
Right,
like, why would I not do this? Like, for me, you know, like for me and my life and who I am as a person, like,
yeah,
I was just like, this is great. And this is what I want. And so then, like,
running back and forth because somebody wants extra breadsticks. So sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's
the never ending hustle. And yeah, you know,
I don't like to, you know, I don't want to like shame people or look down on certain.
Well, I'm not shaming anybody who waits tables. Anybody who waits tables, that's some of the hardest work anybody will ever do.
And yeah, that. Totally. But for me, it was just that, like, I've always just been this really independent spirit. I mean, even mm-hmm. since kid growing up, child, whatever, it was like, I want to do my thing and I don't really want other people telling me how to do it or what I can do, you know? Mm-hmm. So when it was just clear that, like, that's what sex work affords you, that's just from, I was like, this is for me. Like, this is just in my nature. I am a sex worker. And, so, you know, I think there is a certain level of thought that goes into that and making that decision. And then nowadays, like the past 10, 15 years, it's really like, you're also a business person. The past 10 years for sure. It's like, I'm not like before, you know, I was doing a lot of porn and getting paid a performance fee and that was nice. And then, you know, I go home and I could just do a puzzle or read a book or whatever I wanted to do. Since I started doing my own productions, that's where it's a lot of work and it's marketing and get into the list. It's so many things.
And
you have to have a level of some kind of savviness, some kind of intelligence to just like understand how to keep it all going and you know, how to reach the people you want to reach and mm-hmm. How to like make your brand and stuff like that. Like that's all stuff that requires a lot of thought and motivation and a little bit of ambition, I guess. And like,
well, a lot of work, but that's the other thing. That's the other misconceptions. People are like, oh, it's just easy. They're just fucking or whatever. But
yeah,
it's so much work. It's so much work. Well, I'm a stand-up comedian, and Eddie Griffin had a great quote. He said, "The hour that I'm on stage is the easiest hour of my day."
Oh my
rest,
God.
The rest
exactly
of it, I got to work.
That's what I say all the time. I'm like, the part where I get to go perform on camera, that is the easiest part and the most fun part. Mm-hmm. That's what I love doing.
Right.
The rest of the job is the bulk of the job. And that's like sitting at the computer for hours and hours and hours and just like organizing things. And I'm not great at organizing things. So often it's just like a bunch of shit in my head and I'm like trying to keep track of it all. And mm-hmm. So all that, you know, and I do think there's something about something about sex work in general that, you know, there are the two sides of it kind of, I mean, there's many sides of it, but like there's the side where it is sort of the only economically viable option, or someone is in a state of basically desperation. That's one side of it. But the other side of it is that it's like a choice, like a conscientious choice that is being mm-hmm. made on the part of a sex worker who is like, I see how this world works. And like, this is the choice I'm making for myself, mm-hmm. you know? And so that does require someone who has a different kind of like philosophy on life.
Mm-hmm. And you also have strict boundaries because, like I said, you don't do anal.
Well, I can't. I've tried. Can't do it.
Okay. Really? Okay. All right. Enough said. Okay. That makes sense.
I mean, I wish I could, man. I'd have a better paycheck for sure. But
right. But you've given anal, but you don't take it, or have you given? Yeah, I was gonna say.
Oh yeah, I give anal.
I thought I saw you giving anal. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I have a movie I came out with, Strap On Sinners 2. Anal
mm-hmm.
edition. So
okay. I don't think I saw the anal edition. I'll have to do that. But so that's why that is. And then the other hard line is you don't except for your husband, who is a Derek Manowar. I know Manowar is in there.
No, it's Drake.
Drake Manowar. I'm sorry. I know it was a D. I apologize. Please, Mr. Manowar, please forgive me. But I'm gonna say something very nice about him because I heard you on a podcast talk about him, and you said that he had a nice dick. So I was curious.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Well, please tell me. define nice dick. Is just big or what? I don't think
so it's good luck. It's for me, it's perfect. So it is 8 inches.
Okay.
And it is
pretty big.
Basically just like the ideal thickness. Like it's not so thick that it's painful to push it in. Like it's just, it's, but you do feel filled. And it gets very hard perfectly every time that we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
It works amazingly as long as it needs to. When he comes, it's this big load, it shoots out. And it's perfectly straight. The head is proportionate to the shaft. Like, I mean, just, it's like, if they made a statue, a dildo is a perfect cock, like that's it. And okay. I actually do have a dildo. It's called the First Mate, and it is remarkably similar to his cock. So it's my favorite, and I call it my cock. It's the, you know, I like to let partners choose which cock they want me to put in my harness, but like,
right.
I always hope that they're okay with that one because that's the one I identify the most with. And so when we do a threesome where like I have my strap on and then he's got his cock, we made a whole movie about this.
So you both have the same cock.
Yeah.
Basically.
Finn and Drake's strap on threesomes. And so we are both like basically fucking with the same cock and like, it's just really hot.
I can imagine. I was just curious because I've heard like, big dick or whatever. And you know, I don't mean to brag, but somebody told me I had a perfectly shaped penis and then said, it looks like it's never been used. So that's just one of those things. But I was wondering what a nice cock was. And now that I know, it's perfectly straight. You don't want those boomerangs or anything like that. And
I don't want to dick shame anyone.
No, but
I don't even like using the word perfect, but
perfect for you.
For me, yeah, definitely for me. Yes. And for me, like, it's not, you know, my sexuality is, it's interesting.
It's fluid, obviously. It's fluid, obviously.
Yeah, definitely fluid. And I feel like, you know, I guess I can't speak for everyone, but like peaks and valleys and waves and things over the course of my life with regards to the things I'm attracted to and when. So, you know, the easiest thing to say would be bisexual. I prefer queer. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like the ways I'm attracted to women and the ways I'm attracted to men, they're just different. And
How so?
Like, I kind of think that I'm a little bit more, you call it like demisexual towards men. Like, like I just don't want to just fuck a guy because there he is, kind of, or, you know, thinking about like doing guys.
I hear that a lot, by the way.
Yeah. Like thinking about guys in porn, you know, just being like showing up on a set and being like, hi, here's the guy you're going to fuck in a scene. I think I would struggle with that.
Right. Have you been offered a lot of money to be with men? I would imagine.
Actually, no. No one's ever came to me and been like, okay, we'll give you 40 grand if you do a scene with a guy. Like, I know some other girl performers who have had those offers. Like, I never have, but
would you take
it? And like, would I do it? 40 grand? I think I'd be kind of stupid not to.
All right.
Well, I mean, like, I, you know,
let me check my bank account and
I mean, we've all got our price, you know.
Okay.
Like, I think even if I, you know, I went to my partner and I was like, okay, here's the offer, what do you think about this? Like, I you know, like, there's just 40 grand, 50 grand, you know, like,
okay, 40, 50,
that'd be like a really nice boost for my life. So
No, I got it. Okay.
You know, to do the one thing and then just move on. And yeah, you know, money is money. Like, I'm pragmatic.
Unfortunately, I'm a little short, but here's the question now. If that's the case, you're fluid and you're demisexual with men, how are you with women?
With women, I'm like homosexual.
It's all lust.
I feel, I can't say it's all lust. I mean, like, I feel,
you get emotionally attached?
No.
Okay.
But I, there are definitely certain performers who I've gotten to know on a personal level. You know, like Ella being one of them, and I just had, or like Lily LeBeau being another one, or, you know, there's a few, especially here in Vegas now. You know, we've lived here for 4 years. Like, I have a lot of affection for many of the women that I've worked with. So yeah, like affection and care and things like that, but not, and even like a touch of romance, but not in a way of like, I want to be in a relationship with you. You know, and also I just am not a poly person. Like we are kind of, we have like an openness to our relationship, but mm-hmm. it's primarily like us together with other people.
Right.
But I just don't have romantic feelings for more than one person at a time is the main thing. And so all of my romantic energy is for my partner, who I just love more than I could even put into words.
Okay. All right. Well, that's yeah. interesting. Yeah. So you never had, I mean, from what I've gathered about you from, you know, certain podcasts I've listened to, you were in a long-term relationship and then in this relationship, but you've never, have you ever had a relationship with a woman that's lasted a while? Off screen.
Yeah. When I was in high school, the first person I really fell in love with was my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But we were kind of like together in just the sense that we were best friends for mm-hmm. a couple years. But then I was like crushing hard on her. Mm-hmm. It was like hard to put words to that at the time, I think, right. until there was this, yeah, I liked her a lot. I really wanted to be with her, not just be her best friend. And there was a night that we finally got drunk and we started making out, and she was just like, oh, I've wanted this for so long. And I was just like so surprised, because I was like, mm-hmm. what? I've wanted this for so long. And so then we did end up dating for about 3 months, and then she ended it, and it definitely broke my heart. It was really tough. But yeah, so you know, I'd say like for high school, like that was a long relationship, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this begs a.
I didn't like, you know, no.
Well, it seems to explain why you got married, because I know people that are in they don't state it, or maybe they do or they don't, that the woman could fuck any woman that she wants, but the guy can't. Is that your relationship? Or I mean, I know you, when you do it together, but
yeah, we do it together, so
right. But
I guess I kind of feel like, you know, if you like, with the amount of women that my partner is able to penetrate, mm-hmm. You know, with me there,
right,
if he also then went and felt like he needed to go do that outside of our relationship without me there,
mm-hmm.
And did it without telling me, you know, I would definitely be a little surprised. But you know, we've both talked about this at length with each other, and it's just that, you know, with the level of connection that we have,
mm-hmm.
if a discretion happened like that on either of our parts, I don't think that it would be worth killing our relationship and what we have over, you know, I think that we would talk about it and we'd be like, okay, we need to figure out why this happened in such a way that like, you didn't tell me about it, or you felt you had to hide it. Because I feel like the issue is like, if someone cheats, the issue is not just I needed to get laid or something like that. There's other things going on. And I'd be like, we need to figure out like what is broken in our relationship right now that this is what ended up happening. You know, if it was like something very serious like that. But again, it's just like, there's so much, like, you know, we both have so much freedom that it just seems like it would be like thrown, you know, really like spitting in the face of something that was already such a gift, you know? And I think we both feel that. So,
in some respects it's healthier because you're getting,
I know it is.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds to me, I mean, cause I know people that tried it and it didn't work. I know people that tried it and it did work. I know people that are swingers and it didn't work. I know people are swingers that does work.
Yeah. I mean, when a monogamous relationship ends, we, you know, it's not like, oh, well, I guess monogamous relationships, they're all messed up, you know, but like,
so some people say that though.
But like people say that if, you know, if you're in a poly relationship or an open relationship or whatever, and then that ends, it's like, oh, well, see, because you were poly, that's why, or whatever the case is, you know, and it's just like, none of this stuff is like black and white, fitted in the box. This is how things are. Right. And I think like, you know, in a lot of ways, a betrayal can be an opportunity to make a relationship better.
Right.
So, you know, I just try to look at things through that more open lens of understanding. Like it's just the understanding that matters more than like the physical thing that happened. And I do very strongly feel that like, we don't, you know, I'm an individual person and so is my husband. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't own him. I don't own his fantasies or his mind or his body. So, you know, it's not my decision to make like who he fucks and when. Right. But I do think that's like a choice that we make every day. I know it's one that I make. Like I choose to not, you know, sleep with other dudes, and that's just a choice that I make every day. Like,
right.
I'm not really interested in it. And then like, you know, if he is interested in having sex with another woman, it's like, let's talk about it. You know, how right. can we make this work for both of us and make, mm-hmm. make it okay.
Right.
But yeah, like I've, you know, definitely if I have an opportunity to be with a woman off camera, I usually take it because it doesn't happen very often. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just doesn't happen very often.
All right. No, I understand. Okay.
And you know, that is something that he is okay with, right. you know, historically.
Now, do you use a strap on him? Does that happen, or is that too personal? No. Okay. All
right. No, it's not too personal. It's just okay. No, he does not.
Just curious.
I actually don't pay. I don't strap on men in general. Okay. That's okay. I'm not attracted to men's butts and assholes in general. So.
Oh, who is? I mean, I guess some people are.
But... lots of people.
Okay. All
right. Just not me.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Now let's get to what people are attracted to, because like I said, you sort of, and I guess you still do a lot of fetish stuff and a lot of foot stuff. No.
Really?
But didn't you start out like doing some foot stuff?
I mean, I'll do foot stuff whenever someone wants foot stuff. I wish I had more foot fans.
Really?
Yeah. Because
are like, your feet cute? I mean, I've seen your feet, but
I think they are. And well, I always hold it up that Belladonna, who is a massive foot fetishist, or at least she was, mm-hmm. She always told me that I had her perfect feet. Like if she could choose and design perfect feet, they would be mine. So that's my like claim to foot fame there. So, but her saying that always made me so curious, like why I don't get a lot of like customs for foot stuff, or when I do have foot stuff and sell it on my clips for sale stores. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't sell that well. Like, I don't know. That was never my big thing, I guess.
All right.
As much as I would want it to be, it's just not.
Right. But, and I, if I have this correct, I mean, you started out kind of subby, and now you're definitely more dommy. And
yeah,
you started out doing what I didn't know was I guess I heard about it a little bit, but chloroform. Now, I'm not kink shaming anybody, but that's not my thing at all.
Yeah.
But
I'm gonna try to understand the fetishes that I do, or the custom videos that get ordered. You know, I try to sort of get into the psychology of it a little bit and figure out. Like,
I sort of get it, but it's so.
What is the sexy part of this? Yeah. So actually, that was like one of the first shoots I ever did, was like for a site that did chloroform. And so it's like, usually it's called Sleepy Fetish, the chloroform. It could also be you get knocked on the head, or like there's a gas, or you take a drink.
Well, like a caveman, like Fred Flintstone, they bonk you on the head and you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so interesting, like, because to me, this is so normal. Like, this is just my life.
Oh, I know. And this is why I love talk. I mean, we've got DOMs, we have, you know, in our show, we talk about it a lot, but it's just, this is a new one on me. I mean, I had,
really,
you know, I had somebody smother me, but, you know, I've had all sorts of things, but.
Smother is part of it too. Yeah. That's part of it.
Yeah. Choking and all this other stuff, but yeah, chloroform.
Yeah.
Choking. I mean, I knew it's out there, but, I guess I never really thought about it until I started getting into you and researching. All sorts of stuff. I'm like, chloroform. Okay. That's not my thing, but I don't shame anybody, but
yeah, totally. The unfortunate thing about some of these kinks is that, the credit card companies that basically like rule our lives have decided that that stuff is I guess when there's not even necessarily nudity in some of this chloroform fetish
stuff.
Sure,
yeah, yeah.
But if I, you know, I think I made a custom with chloroform stuff the other night. There was barely nudity in it. That wasn't the focus of the video. And it was just her being knocked out and then take off her clothes and then wrap her up in a, well, it was like a sheet, but the idea was like a sack. So she's in a sack. And I just like rub on her in the sack and I tease her and I like grope her boobs and butt. And like, that's the video. And that's what this person, you know, wanted. And like, mm-hmm. If I want to sell it on my clip store, I'm going to have to cut out the parts that had the chloroform in it. Right. But to me, this is just such like a benign, playful, almost fetish.
Right,
like,
right.
And knowing some of the fetishists who have ordered these types of videos, it's like, they don't want anyone to be even hurt, really. Like, that's not what the fetish is for them. But
now, what is the fetish? Just a power thing, or what do you think it is?
No, I don't even think it's a power thing. I think it's like it's the eyes. I think a lot of it is like the fluttering of the eyes. The rolling of the eyes is huge. Like rolling up like this to where you can kind of only see like the whites of the eyes. And then also like when someone is out and their body is limp, like mm-hmm. lifting the and limpness, popping yeah, and yeah. I think that's just for some people, it just hits that trigger in their brain. It's sensual, kind of, soft, sexy. Maybe it could be related to like a Sleeping Beauty Snow White kind of thing from childhood. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so many theories you could get into of what exactly it is, but to me it's so harmless. And same thing with hypno fetish.
I wanted to get into this. Really want to get into this.
And you know, it's just you're sitting there, you're pretending like you're getting hypnotized, and then you're hypnotized, and now they're telling you like, I command you to take off your shirt and play with your titties, and you mm-hmm. go, yes, master. And it's just like a robotic thing. And so what frustrates me is that I can't make videos like that and sell them in my clip stores.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was making a movie and selling it to Hollywood or something, that's all totally fine. I can have murder, I can have blood and guts, I can have mm-hmm. you know, all of this horrific shit happening, which, by the way, I love horror films. So sure. To me, it's not horrific. I think it's fucking great.
Yeah.
But my point is just that, like, only because of the fact that it's being sold on a site that is intended for eroticism, mm-hmm. that makes it against the rules. And like, right. We can't do it. I can't say the word hypno. I can't have a chloroform rag. I can't say the word chloroform.
Mm.
If someone is knocked out, like then I can't take their clothes off
mm-hmm.
or like I have to show them awake at the end of it. So if we're doing wrestling stuff and then they are meant to be getting like knocked out over and over again, the video can't end with them still being out. Like I have to show them awake. Just mm-hmm. weird fucking nitpicky rules like that.
Right.
Because there's still this like totally false correlation that I guess if you jerk off to it, some of these people think that you're going to then go do it in real life, which actually like there's data showing that it's the opposite. So
right. You're getting your release. Like, so you're not going to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But whatever.
This is a country of reactionaries and we were built on puritanical values. So,
right. Yeah, the whole hypno thing intrigued me because I have been hypnotized.
Oh yeah, it worked.
It worked and it was one of the best things ever, but she never did it again. It was really weird. It was so weird. Like, she hypnotized me.
Mm-hmm.
I was out
mm-hmm.
and, like I wake up and the clock was like, you know, she's squirting on my dick and the clock's like an hour later. And she's like, oh, I've been fucking you for like an hour. I'm like, really? And I had no idea. And I thought it was great,
wow.
I don't know, but
story.
Yeah, no, welcome to my life. But I was just like, and then I kept trying to get her to do it again. She never would. It was a weird relationship. We were both sort of sort of doms and it just sort of clashed. Oh. So it just didn't work out.
That does not work well.
I mean the actual sex was great. I mean, it was just she got so turned on by me. She would come when I would kiss her. Like, that's how turned on she would get. Yeah.
Sensitive.
Yeah. But just like when it came to like, okay, let's take it a step further, it was like, okay, that's when there's like two magnets come together and just never came together. But and also with the fetishes, I mean, it's like, you know, it's make believe.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what people, but
pretend. I mean, that's kind of like what drew me to the whole, like, doing all this work in the first place. The first time I ever got hired by, it was actually Anton Productions at the time. And he's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You know, you're going to pretend to get knocked out with this chloroform and you're going to do this whole eye rolly thing. And I was like, this is pretty cool. And then
reaction, really? You were like,
totally. And it's like, now you're gonna pretend like you're getting hypnotized by this thing, and then your eyes are gonna go like this. And you know, so for me, it was like, I grew up in theater and acting, dancing, singing, all that stuff, really passionate about it. So in this first job, it was like, here you go, you just get to act all day,
right?
And sometimes you'll take your clothes off. And then at the end of the day, he hands me a check for $400, and I was just like, yeah, I think I like this job.
I've seen hypno videos, and I find them hilarious. I think they're funny.
Yeah, they are. Especially when it's like, sometimes I've made customs recently where it's like, you know, I get hypnotized and then, you know, now I have to act like a monkey, and now I have to act like a seal,
right?
And a chicken, and, you know, I mean, act like a cheerleader, and you know, it's comedy.
To me, it's funny and arousing at the same time, which is a great combination. When did you make the switch from, and every, you know, everybody has both sides, but when did you make the switch from being a sub to being more of a dom?
Well, that's more with like sex scenes than fetish scenes. Right. So you know, I think it was just getting into the industry and like starting to do the work, and I was maybe not as confident in what I was doing, and I don't know, I was just like, I don't know, you do the things to me. And I think what happened is I reached this point where when I was being a little more subby in a scene, I was like not satisfied with how the dom or the top was managing me, for lack of a better term.
Right.
And so I was like, you know,
they weren't using proper English. I get it.
So I think I was just like, I think that I can do this better than what I'm seeing being done and what's being done to me.
Right.
And then it was Belladonna who basically gave me my first shot. And
you were right.
I think my work speaks for itself. It was a no warning four, maybe. And I had two out of the four scenes I was topping. So, and they're classics, still good.
I'm sure they are. I'm just going through your filmography now. I'll have to check those out. But yes, what is the weirdest fetish that that people have requested from you?
Well, that one on the sack was pretty interesting the other day.
Yeah, the sack is good.
Yeah. Oh, and then.
Oh, you won't do fart. You won't do farting. So I heard something. Yeah.
Not interested in that.
Yeah.
So
no scat, no piss, or you're into that?
No. Oh, okay. I mean, I'll pee my pants like all day. I don't give a fuck about that, and I'm really good at it too.
Wait, you're really good at pissing your pants?
Yes.
And
a lot of people struggle with it.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. Really.
It's like, well, we're conditioned so much to not pee our pants. Like our whole life, we're trying to not pee our pants. So actually releasing and letting go to pee your pants can be a struggle for a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the weirdest fetish that you've gotten?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the sack one was interesting. Another one we did the other day. We actually did three interesting ones yesterday. One of them is a guy who just really likes, it's like the words, I must pack my panties. And I think he's thinking about like packing your panties, like in your butthole maybe or something. And so you're kind of like saying that, and it's like a force has taken over your mind and you're struggling against it, but you can't help it. And so I must pack my panties. I said that like several times. And then this other guy wanted it's a face sitting video, but the girl on top who is doing the face sitting is wearing mm-hmm. these giant black sweatpants, which is interesting to me because like face sitting videos, they totally get it. Like a nice ass on a face
yeah. oh,
looks
sure.
great, but he wanted it covered with giant black sweatpants, like not just regular size, like they had mm-hmm. to be 3 times bigger than what I would normally wear.
Right.
Another one is I did a video where I was in a just latex balloon basically, and it was like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory,
sure.
where it blows up like a blue giant blueberry.
Right.
And like I had to do like the little hand flapping on the side and everything like she does in the movie, and so that was interesting. And then one of the weirdest ones that we've gotten to was like rubber kitchen gloves, like for doing the dishes and cleaning mm-hmm. and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And taking these like they're not Barbie dolls, they're Monster High dolls.
Right,
they're right. Barbies, and putting them in a bucket of soapy water and like twisting their hair and pulling their hair and like punching them and slapping them with the gloves and like making the squeaky sound with the gloves. And
that wasn't
just like a 10-minute video. That was like a 30-minute video. So
wow.
that was definitely like that one. I couldn't wrap my head around.
Well, that's very goth, but I hate the squeaking. I'm shivering in my chair just thinking about it. But who is their own? If that's what they like, that's fine.
That's what the guy wanted. He's
apparently
looking for it. Yeah, I'm going to make it.
People love seeing you in loose clothing, apparently. I don't know why that is. You look great in tight clothing from what I've seen. So I don't know, but everybody's into what they're into. So now you're really a lot of, and especially lately, you've been doing a lot of trans stuff. You've been working with a lot of trans models. A lot of your recent nominations have been with your trans work. You got a new release, Training, alongside Ariel Demure for Trans Fix. What is that?
Oh, that was so that's a different company. That's not my company, but that's
Well, we don't have to talk about that.
No, I mean, I would love people to watch that scene. I hope they do. Ariel Demure was amazing to work with. Like, yeah, and she's so friendly. I've seen her at award shows since then and stuff, and she, you know, she remembers me and gives me a hug and says hi.
Like,
and she's so beautiful, and she's just really fun to be around on set, and just great performance. Think she's awesome.
Did you train her? Or did she train you?
Oh, it was only called that because we were like working out in the beginning. That was like the intro. We were like doing workout stuff. So we were like training, and then the next thing you know, we're fucking. Okay. So
and you've done scenes with past guest Venus Lux, love her.
Yes, that was my first trans scene for like a company.
Okay.
Yeah, that was at Kink, again at kink.com.
Okay, but you've been nominated for Fleshbot Awards for a girl performer in 2021, AVN Best Trans Movie.
Yeah, that was for my movie Sins Trans Lesbian Lovers.
Right.
So I got AVN, that was really cool, and then also but the Trans Erotica Awards as well. I got a few nominations for that movie.
I see that. Yeah.
That was exciting for me.
Including best scene producer.
Yeah.
Best DVD, which I didn't know they made DVDs anymore, and best girl.
Yeah, it wasn't a physical DVD.
Yeah. And we just had the X-Biz, and you were nominated for the Penny Barber and Sin Sage 20-year reunion part one.
Yeah.
You guys had a 20-year reunion?
That was like, you know, the premise of the scene.
Oh, okay. It was a class reunion. I take these things too literally. I keep reading these things and like extrapolating.
Just remember porn as like, you know, not really.
I thought this was somebody you fucked like 20 years ago, and then it's like, oh, we're back. No. Okay. Was this a new thing with the trans? Have you always been with the trans girls? Because it seems to be a new focus.
Yeah. You know, so let's see. I think that with everything, we all like, hopefully we evolve and we learn more. And we meet people and we understand things better. You know, I think that there was a time when even I didn't understand like that trans women were women.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely like had a, I had like a almost a fetishized like concept in my head. And I was like, I knew I wanted to be with a trans, like I wanted to try having sex with a trans woman, but mm-hmm. it's because I would say something really stupid and harmful, like, oh, you know, it's like the best of both worlds or whatever. And that was just a really, that was not the right mindset to have or mm-hmm. to view the world through. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and my partners, I think it would be a similar thing where, well, definitely like my previous partner is just like, fuck that guy. Like, that's not even a question.
Yeah, don't worry about him.
But, you know, with my current partner, when we first got together, it was like 2011. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying something about the, like, you know, I'd like to try that sometime. And at the time, you know, he was a totally different person too. We mm-hmm. both were. And I think he was kind of still like, I don't know how I'd feel about that. And so it really took like knowing trans people, knowing trans women. And so the first scene, you know, I had a conversation with my partner about it, like after we'd been together for a few years, and I met Chelsea Poe and, you know, saw the work that she was doing, and just was really intrigued and by it. And also just like knowing her, it's just like, oh yeah, she's a woman, like, duh, you know? And so we had that conversation with each other, like, you know, I feel like trans women are women, and like, I should, if I have sex with women on camera, like that I should also include trans women in that. And, you know, essentially he agreed. And so my first scene was with Chelsea Poe.
Okay.
And we did a like a sex tape style, like POV video. And yeah, especially, you know, she puts on a strap on to fuck me in that scene. And so, you know, just like I got more integrated into that world of queerness and transness. And mm-hmm. thanks to Courtney Trouble, who is my distributor of the movies that I make now. And, you know, they really, I don't know, it was just like a learning process for me, right. And meeting more queer people and meeting more trans people and knowing them. And then it just became obvious. It just became so fucking obvious trans women are women. And so why would I not work with trans women? You know?
Well, that's the key. We had the KCT girl on earlier in the month. And that's what I was saying, is that people that, you know, a lot of the hate and the misinformation,
yeah,
it's just people don't know trans people,
exactly,
or trans women.
We don't know everything right off the bat. Right. We are all ignorant of things. You know, ignorant right. is used a lot of times as just like an insult. But you right. know, there are things we are ignorant about, and sure. I was just ignorant to trans people because I didn't know any. So I think if you are ignorant and then also you're hearing all this stuff from the right and from conservatives and traditionalists and things like that, who are just demonizing and really dehumanizing trans people.
Right.
That can, you know, just like lead you further down the path of ignorance, and right. it leads to bigotry, and mm-hmm. it leads to hate, which leads to the dark side. So,
right.
You know,
not the fun dark side that we the goth fun dark side that we troll.
No, Star Wars dark side.
The real dark side. But you know, once you meet and befriend people, then you know that hatred, that bigotry goes away.
Yeah, I mean, you just see like, oh, this is a human being in front of me, and that's what humanizing is, and that's like really what I. That's like a big part of like who I am and what I try to do is mm-hmm. and not just trans people, but sex workers and mm-hmm. you know, fucking women and like all kinds. I'm just like, look, we're human beings and we all deserve respect and we all deserve to just be like treated well and like just be fucking kind to each other, and we deserve rights and things like that. So yeah, that's really important to me. So when I came to Vegas, when I moved to Vegas, there's so many trans models and we all needed content, and mm-hmm. I'm like, let's fucking make it. Let's make right. content, you know. Right. It's really about like access to that pool of people, and
that's yeah. great. Are you liking Vegas?
I have loved Vegas. I thought I would hate it. Ended up just having such an amazing community mm-hmm. here, and also really enjoy that there's always something cool and fun to do. And mm-hmm. also I can leave and go hiking and be in nature. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful here when you're kind of in the suburbs and
right.
you're surrounded by the mountain ranges and gorgeous sunsets.
So Summerlin, you're in Summerlin or?
Yes. Okay. But we are moving in about 2 weeks. Okay. Bought a house in Illinois, so we're doing that.
What? You're going to Illinois?
Yep.
Oh, good for you. Well, another change.
Yeah,
because Vegas is not that big a change from LA.
From Southern California, yeah. And I grew up.
Illinois is a big change.
Yeah, massive change. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excited.
Well, good luck to you, and good luck to you with everything. I could talk to you all night. Obviously, I mean, we barely scratched the surface.
Yeah.
And you haven't even pulled out your strap on yet, but geez, I know you got a lot of stuff you have to plug. And I'm going to give you all the time you need to plug anything you want.
Great. Well, I would say to anyone who watched this or listened to this, if you like the things I say and what I talk about.
And who wouldn't?
You should definitely listen to my podcast. 2 episodes have been released already. I come out with them every other week, so twice a month. Mm-hmm. And it's called Sage Advice with Sin Sage.
Right.
And I talked to a sex worker. So far it's been porn stars because it's my friends. But we are like, there's always going to be all types of sex workers, all types of people that I don't even want to call it an interview so much because it's, mm-hmm. it's not, the same types of questions that you would normally hear. It's more a conversation.
Yes.
Then I do like to talk about, sexuality and, how other people came to it and how they came to working in porn. So not just like, how did you get into the industry, but like what led you down this path basically. And, so we talk for about an hour about stuff like that. And then the last half hour or so is we take 2 advice questions, from listeners and sort of give our advice with, through the lens of a sex worker who probably has like a different sort of viewpoint, like maybe a little more enlightened mm-hmm. understanding of sexuality. And, you know, the goal is to sort of like humanize and normalize sex workers and sex work and porn and stuff like that. So
right.
I really hope that you all will find that wherever you get your podcasts and check it out.
I listened to the Kaib show and I really enjoyed it. And
yay.
You're living up to the, this part of your name, Sage. It's very, you have, but
thank you so much.
Yes. Of course, there's the other sage that you wave around and make sure that the spirits are in a way. So there's a lot of sage.
Well, my name being Sin Sage has all of those. It's the sage bush mm-hmm. because I grew up in the desert and I was surrounded by sage bushes. I actually grew mm-hmm. up on Sage Road. So mm-hmm. that old trope. And then also it's, you know, wisdom. So yeah, hopefully you will check out my podcast. And then my website is sin-sage.com. It's a free website. It's kind of like a portfolio type of thing where you can see mm-hmm. the movies that I've made. Like I make the full length features and I sell them there. I also sell my custom videos there. So you can read an FAQ about my custom videos and how mm-hmm. that works and submit if you're interested in getting one. It has all my socials on there. I mainly spend the most time on Twitter. So I'm at sin-sage on Twitter. Of course, I have an OnlyFans, onlyfans.com/sin-sage. And I have clip stores, which you can find again on sin-sage.com. I have clips for sale and mini vids. I also have an adult time channel. So if you are subscribed there, I hope you will watch my movies there. I think one comes out every week. There's a fresh scene there. What else do I have?
You've got so much going on. You have so much going on. I would assume that your website now is a lot more comprehensive than it was in 2003.
I never actually got that fucking website. I told you that guy was a piece of shit.
What a bastard. Fuck him. Anyway, Sin, you have been a delight. I have just enjoyed this conversation so much. And I am Goth Comedian on all social media. My website is darkmarkshow.com. It's not as nice as Sin's, but it's okay. And Sin, thank you so much for being with us today. Trying to think what custom video I'm going to have you make for me, what we're going to do. But
awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like you're up for anything, and
pretty much everybody
strap on will be involved and some goth makeup and who knows.
Yeah, my favorite.
I don't know,
some, all my favorites.
And some really high boots from Hot Topic. We'll get a strap on mm-hmm. and you sodomize a Hot Topic worker. I think that's what we're going to do anyway.
That sounds good to me.
while she's wearing something very colorful. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.